As we get started, I want you to think about a couple of questions. What does it mean to repent? That's an important question. I want you to think about that. You don't have to raise your hand and answer or anything, but just think in your mind, oh, this is what, when I hear the word repent, when I read the word repent in the Bible, this is what I think it means. This is what I would do if I were going to repent, or this is what someone should do if they're going to repent. This is what it means to me. And I want you to think about that. And keep that picture in your mind, because we're going to study tonight about repentance and about what it really means to repent. And one of the reasons that I do this is I have heard so many times people say something in regards to what it means to repent that doesn't fit with what the Bible says it is to repent. So we want to look at that tonight. And why is this an important topic? Well, we're going to get down to the heart of the matter. This is a very essential point. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. There Paul says that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. So if God commanded everyone to repent, then we better know what it means to repent, hadn't we? And we're going to, in a little while, look at some things in the Old Testament, because the Jewish people were masters of the repenting arts. I mean, they made a show of repenting. And the things that they did to try to express that they were repenting and that they were penitent goes far beyond anything that we ever see today. We would be shocked to see the kinds of things that they did. And they would do them at the drop of a hat, it seemed like, sometimes. But since God commands us all to repent, we better learn it. This is something we better learn how to do. And we better learn how to do it right. Repentance is essential to our salvation. Yet, many of us often do not understand what it is. We say things that don't fit with what the Bible teaches. And we're going to look at those. First, we're going to look at what repentance is not. True repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. What do we call that when somebody says, I'm sorry? That's an apology. That's apologizing. That's not repenting. So, we can go say, I'm sorry all day, every day, all day long, but that doesn't mean we repented. We need to understand the difference. Because a lot of times, we equate those two. But I said I'm sorry. Well, just because you said you were sorry doesn't mean that you repented of what you did. Secondly, true repentance is not being sorry you got caught. Sometimes we're very sorry that we got caught. We regret it a great deal. And we feel real bad about getting caught doing something that we weren't supposed to be doing. But that's not the same thing as repenting. The third thing that we want to see is that true repentance is not, this is a hard one now, true repentance is not being sorry you did it. Wait, I thought that's what repentance was. No. No, it's not. That's godly sorrow. That's good. We need to have godly sorrow. But if we notice, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, Paul says, for godly sorrow works repentance. It didn't say godly sorrow is repentance. Godly sorrow is a step we need to take to get to repentance. But it's not the same thing as repentance. Okay? So we need to have that sorrow. We need to be sorry for what we did. But being sorry for what we did is not enough. That word in the King James, godly sorrow, worketh repentance or works repentance. In other words, it leads to repentance. It's heading us in the right direction. So it's certainly a good thing. We need to be sorrowful over our sins that we've committed. Now, of course, in that same passage, it talks about the difference between a godly sorrow there in the first part that works repentance to salvation and the sorrow of the world that works death. So not all sorrow is good sorrow. So we've got to be sure that being sorry we did it leads us to the repentance. But we're going to get to what the repentance is in a little bit. It is not being sorry you did it. It is not wishing you hadn't done it. You know, there are a lot of times where we do something that later on we wish we hadn't done it because of whatever consequences it might cause or whatever. But a lot of times we'll go on and do it again, even though we, I wish I hadn't done that. But then we'll go on and do it again. Wishing we hadn't done it is not the same thing as repentance. True repentance is not crying about it. Now let me tell you something. If you're sorrowful, and we talked about being sorry, if you're sorrowful, a lot of times you will cry about it. You'll mourn. You'll weep. But that's not repentance. Some folks can cry without the sorrow. They can fake the big crocodile tears. Just cry. Just because you can cry about it. I know some children become experts at this. As little girls are, little girls are so good at this. They just... And as soon as they get into trouble, they just start crying with big tears. And, it's so hard to want to make them get in trouble when they start crying those big tears. But they know that crying those big tears will make you forget about punishment. And so that's why they do that. They're manipulating you. Well, some people try to manipulate God or others in the church. They'll start crying like that. And I've known people like that. They come with the sob story. I've been so bad and it's so terrible. And they got the tears down. It's one of the things that the Jews used to do as well. They would weep and mourn, wail. But crying about it doesn't equal repentance. True repentance is not telling what sin you committed. So we offer the invitation and people that we respond to the invitation sometimes. And I hear people say sometimes, well, when they repent, they need to repent of the specific sin. But sure, all of us need to repent of specific sins. There's no way you can repent unless you're repenting of a specific sin. But they've got something confused. Standing up in the congregation and telling what sin I've committed is not repentance. We call that confession. Confession is not the same thing as repentance. Is confession good? Yes. Is confession necessary? Yes. Is confession commanded? Yes. But that's not repentance. Now, sometimes we think someone is repenting because they confess, but confession isn't repentance. So telling what, and a lot of times they say, well, they just get up and say, I've sinned. They need to say what sin they committed. Well, sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. It depends on whether it's a public sin or not. They may not need to tell what sin they've committed. That may need to remain between them and God. But the fact of the matter is that telling what sin you committed is not repentance. True repentance is not, and I get this one a lot. I asked the boys in our class, we were going over some of these basic Bible things in our Sunday morning Bible class when I was teaching them. And for 2 months straight, I asked them, what does it mean to repent? And for 2 months straight, one of them would pipe up and say this one. Asking God to forgive you. Or asking others to forgive you. Asking God or other people to forgive you for a sin you've committed is not repentance. That's asking for forgiveness. Now, asking for forgiveness is a good thing to do. We need to ask for forgiveness when we have done some wrong. But that's not repentance. You're running out of ideas now, aren't you? Saying, wait a minute, it's not this. I thought it was this. It's not that. Is it? What is this thing? Because it's important that we understand this. Or because a lot of us have been doing it wrong. We didn't do it. We've been calling ourselves repenting of sin when really we're not. We may be confessing our sin. We may be asking God to forgive us of our sin. But we've never repented of it. We need to learn what it is. Then we see that true repentance is not responding to the invitation. Some people think that if I stand up at the invitation and say I've sinned, that I've repented. No. I can stand up and say whatever I want to say at the invitation. That doesn't mean I've repented of anything. Now we're going to get into some other ones here that are... True repentance is not promising not to do it again. How many of you ever made that bargain with God? God, if you'll forgive me this time, I promise I won't do it again. Promising not to do it again. Now that, I mean, you know, it, depending on what it is, there's a good likelihood you're going to break that promise. Because we have a tendency to fall to temptation and to give in to sin. And a lot of times, we have a weakness to a certain sin that keeps besetting us. The same sin keeps getting in our path time and time again. And when I promise God, I'm not going to do that again. Most of the time I'm making a promise that I'm not going to keep. The Bible actually says that it's better not to vow, in other words, not to make a promise, than to make the promise and not keep it. So we need to be careful making those promises. God, but a lot of times we'll do that. I'm not going to do that again. Now it's good for us to try to say, you know, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to do better. I know that's not a good thing to do. I'm not going to do it again. But it's not repentance. It's getting close. I mean, we're getting closer to the idea, but that's still not the same thing. Certainly, true repentance is not doing good things to outweigh the bad. Sometimes people might think that. Well, I've done some bad things, so if I start doing good things, then that'll just kind of wipe out the bad things I've done. No. You've got to repent. Doing the good things doesn't take the bad things off the ledger. Doesn't work that way. Might be nice if it did. Then we'd go out and do whatever bad things we weren't doing and go out and do good things and, well, hey, it's okay. We evened it up. There are some religions that teach that. The religion of Islam teaches basically that if you do these good things that are commanded of you more than you do these bad things over here, then voila, you win. As long as you've got one more in the plus column than you have in the minus column, you're a winner. And you get to go to paradise. Or whatever it is that they call it. And of course, the free ticket is if you blow yourself up and kill a bunch of infidels. That's a free ticket to paradise. But there are a lot of religions that work that way, but Christianity is not one of them. The Bible does not teach the idea that I can just do more good things and that'll outweigh the bad things. It doesn't work that way. And that's not repentance by any means. True repentance is not changing sinful behavior because blank. And you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. It's not changing sinful behavior because I might lose my family if I don't. It's not changing sinful behavior because I might lose my job if I don't. It's not changing sinful behavior because this person won't like me. Or changing sinful behavior because, and you fill in the blank, whatever those reasons for changing sinful behavior, there's only one that matters. You get all those other reasons that for changing sinful behavior and stopping doing, it's not, you know, you take somebody, here's somebody who's living in a state of fornication. They're living with someone they're not married to. And they stop that because they find out that they stop having sexual relations outside of marriage with that person because they find out that person has a venereal disease, sexually transmitted disease. Have they stopped committing the sin? Yes. Did they repent? No. They just stopped doing it because they didn't want to catch the disease. They didn't care about their soul. They didn't care about the morality of it. They didn't care what God said about it. They had some other reason for stopping. You take the fellow who drinks and drives. And he gets stopped by the police and they warn him. They say, you're going to go to jail. And so he stops. He doesn't ever drink and drive anymore. He doesn't even ever drink anymore. I can't drink anymore because I drink and then I get in the car and I'll drive and then I'll lose my license or I'll have to go to jail. Has he repented? No. He's just stopped doing something because he doesn't want to face the consequences of it. That's what it was. There are a lot of us who have stopped doing certain sinful behaviors because of one thing or another. But just because we stopped doing a sinful behavior does not mean that we have repented. I want y'all to really get that. Just because we stopped doing something that was sinful does not mean that we repented. And if we didn't repent, then that sin is still waiting for us. It's still there. Because we haven't repented. We may have stopped doing it 10 years ago. But we never repented of it. We'll get to this final one and then we'll look at what true repentance really is. True repentance is not tearing your clothes, fasting, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, or whatever other torture you could inflict on yourself. In the Middle Ages, some of the Catholic priests and other religious, they would actually flog themselves because they committed some sin. If you could beat your sins out of yourself, that'd be great. But it doesn't work that way. The only way we can get rid of sins is first we've got to repent of them. That's the first step in having them forgiven. So we'll pick up then some of these other things back again as we look at what true repentance is, okay? Let's look at Joel chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Now, it doesn't mean that some of these things, you know, we've talked about some of these things, we said they're not repentant. Some of those things are things we have to do. They're good things. They're things we must do, some of them. Some of them aren't, but some of them are. Joel 2 and 12 says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." Well, see, I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with fasting and weeping and mourning. It's not that those were wrong things to do. The problem was that they weren't turning to Him with all their heart. Notice what verse 13 says. "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil." Notice, you know, the Jews, if you ever read the Old Testament, how often do they rip their clothes? They must have gone through a lot of clothes. Because every time something bad happens, they go tearing their clothes to show how sorrowful they are, to show how much they're repenting for these evil things they've done. That was a habit. And they say that over in the Middle East, they still do those things when they're in great sorrow. They'll still tear their clothes. But notice what God says to them. He says, quit tearing your clothes and start tearing your hearts. Because that's what matters. You can tear every piece of clothing you've ever owned. But if it didn't have anything to do with changing your heart, changing what's inside, changing what's at the core of your being, then it didn't do any good. And that's his point. Rend your heart and not your garments. Now, some people think that repentance means that we stop doing bad things and start doing the good things. And I probably even had said that to the boys to get them the idea of what kind of things are involved. But doing the good thing and actually changing your life is what we would call conversion or being converted. And it really comes after repentance. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, Peter's preaching to people there, and he says, repent and be converted. Now that tells me that repent and converted aren't the same thing. Repent comes first. You repent, and then you'll be converted. So here's what we found out now. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And repentance comes before being converted. So something comes between being sorry and being changed. What comes between being sorry and being changed? The way you think. You change the way you think. You're sorry about it, so you think about it differently. And when you think about it differently, you act differently. Repentance, quite literally, means to think again. To think again. Or to think afterward. It carries with it the idea of rethinking the way that you've done something in the past. It's a change of attitude or heart. Heart, attitude, it doesn't matter which way you put those in those two blanks there. Heart and attitude. It's a change from the core of your being. It's not a change of outward actions. It's a change that goes on inside you. Now, it will result, the end result of it will be a change in your actions. But when somebody comes and they confess, for example, as they come on a Sunday morning, they confess, I want to confess I've forsaken the assembly, and I'm sorry about that, and I want to do better. Yeah. Did they repent? I don't know, and neither do you. Not until the next time we gather together. Next time we gather together, and the next three times we gather together and they're not there, we say, well, I guess they didn't repent. Because their actions didn't change. See, the amazing thing about repentance is you can't see it when it happens. You can't see it until later. That's why in Acts 26 and verse 20, Paul showed to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent. There's number one, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So in other words, once you repent, then your works are going to follow the decisions you've made, the thoughts that you've had. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think about, the way we think about things, determines what we do. That's the way it works. Now think about that. Let's get personal for a minute. Think about some of the sins you've committed in your life. When you repent of those sins, true repentance is a change of heart and attitude so that instead of desiring to do those sinful things, we have a desire to turn away from sin and evil and toward God and obedience to Him. Now, if we have the desire, then we're going to follow through with that desire. Then we are going to turn away from those sins. We're not going to turn away from those sins because, well, we might get arrested and put in jail if we do it. We're not going to turn away from those sins because, well, my family's going to be upset with me. We're not going to turn away from them for any of those reasons. We're going to turn away from them because the deepest desire of our heart is to get closer to God and get further away from sin. And a lot of times that's not why we quit sinning. And that's not why we start doing something that's righteous. We a lot of times have ulterior motives. That's why I said at the beginning, we need to get down what true repentance is. To point this out to us, let's look at this one example and then we'll be finished. You remember Jacob and Esau? Oh, yeah. Hebrews 12 tells about Esau. Verses 15 through 17, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, or profane person, as Esau." Esau was a profane person. "Who, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright." But see, as children of God, we have a birthright. What would we sell it for? What would you sell your inheritance in heaven for? To trade it for one night of pleasure? To trade it for a little gossiping? Would you trade it for a lie to cover up something so you wouldn't get in trouble? What would you trade that for? Esau traded his. I mean, his was just an earthly birthright. He was just going to get some cows and sheep and that kind of thing. But he traded it for a morsel of food. Now notice what it says in verse 17, because this is... Do you think he was sorry he did that? Oh, you know he was sorry he did. Do you think he wished he hadn't? I bet lots of times he wished he hadn't. But notice what verse 17 says. "For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." See, when I say tears, doesn't mean you repented. Esau was seeking to have a place in his heart for repentance, and he sought it with tears, but it wasn't there. He was sorry he did it. He wanted the birthright. He wanted the blessing. He wanted all of it, but he couldn't bring himself to repent. So he never got it. And what's the difference in Jacob and Esau? I mean, from everything we read in the Bible, Esau wasn't really more wicked of a person than Jacob. I mean, Jacob did all sorts of deceptive things. You know, he deceived his father. Lied about this and that. And other. I mean, you know, he wasn't a perfect angel. But what was the difference? The difference was Jacob's capability to repent, to be truly sorry, and allow that sorrow to lead him to change his way of thinking. Do you realize what happened with Esau after Jacob stole the blessing and he realized what Jacob had done? Did he say, "You know, I deserve this for not respecting my father and for not respecting the birthright, and I'm just getting what I deserved, and and God, I'm sorry that I did that. And was that his attitude? No. You know what his attitude was? My father's going to die in a little while. And after he dies, I'm going to murder my brother. See, he was going the wrong direction. Now, he never did murder his brother because their mother found out about it and she sent Jacob away so he wouldn't get murdered. But you see the attitude. We have got to change our attitude, lest that root of bitterness spring up in us. Isaac told him that Jacob had come and stolen the birth of the blessing. And he says, I've eaten and have blessed him, and he shall be blessed. And Esau heard the words of his father, and he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But there wasn't much blessing he could give him. Here was a fellow who didn't have any respect for anything. He was profane. He counted things that were holy as though they were common. Sometimes I'm afraid we do that. We put on the show. We stand before the congregation and say, I've sinned, pray for me. And, I want to do better. And it's not that there's anything wrong with doing that if it's coming from the heart. But sometimes we do that to impress the people. And we miss out on the fact that we need to repent, truly repent. We need to allow that godly sorrow. You see, the worldly sorrow is the one that says, I'm sorry that I'm getting in trouble for this, and what can I do to make people be okay with me again? But see, godly sorrow doesn't care about whether people are okay with you. Godly sorrow cares about whether you're okay with God. Remember Peter and Judas? Both of them did some bad things. One of them was sorrowful, went and took the money back. We might say, well, he repented. He even took the money back. He didn't repent. He was sorry he did it. He was sorry for the way it worked out. He went out and hanged himself. A lot of good that did anybody. The other one, after he had denied the Lord, what did he do? Did he go make a big show and stand out in public and go, oh, I've denied the Lord. I'm such a bad person. Now, I mean, there were people who had seen him deny. I mean, he was speaking to people there. I don't know from him. But he went out. He was in the courtyard with people. He didn't make a big scene in front of the people. He went out. He went away from the people to mourn, to cry, to weep before God. And that's the difference. Are we opening our heart up before God, or are we showing all the right things for the people that are going to see? And that's why we say again, we don't know whether someone has repented until we examine the resulting fruits. But there are a lot of people who say, I repent. Don't repent. And we a lot of times are very confused because we think saying I'm sorry, we think asking God for forgiveness, we think standing up and confessing our sin, or any number of those other things that we talked about, means we repented. But it doesn't. If you're here tonight and you have a need to repent, perhaps you're not a child of God. If you're not a child of God, every sin that you have ever committed is on your soul. Because none of them have been forgiven. Because none of them can be forgiven until you repent and confess Jesus as the Christ and wash them away in His blood through baptism. You don't want to go before God with all of those sins. If you're here and you are a Christian, you had those sins washed away, but perhaps some bad attitude has sprung up, or some bad habit has sprung up. You need to repent. Doesn't mean you just stop doing it, but you actually change the way you think about it. You quit liking it. Think differently, and you'll act differently. That's what it means to repent. And then ask God to forgive you. Because I promise you, if you're still rebellious and still intending to do it again, I may not know it, the elders may not know it, but God can see in your heart, and He knows whether you're repenting or whether you're just standing up and talking. He knows the difference. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.